Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of the blessed Lord Jesus. As we continue our meditation and our study upon the future purposes of God in relation to the Gentile nation, may I remind my listeners that the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32 divides the human race into three divisions. When Paul writes to say, give none offense, neither to the Jew, to the Gentile, nor to the Church of God. Now here are three specific classifications of the human race. The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. We've had the privilege of looking at some of the future events taught in the Word of God in relation to the Church. We have also had the privilege of considering future events in relation to the people of Israel. We are now very briefly from Daniel chapter 2 considering the future events of God in relation to the nation, the Gentiles. We go to Daniel chapter 2 and we begin reading, if I may, from verse 39, the words of Daniel as he interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel has stated to the king, the image of the man, which he saw in his dream, the head of gold, was Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Now in verse 39 and 40 we read, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now may we briefly but clearly and comprehensively state that these four component parts of metal found in the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream represent the four great Gentile world powers as revealed in the Word of God, as also revealed in human history over the world. Since the days of Nebuchadnezzar, following the great judgment of God in the Babylonian captivity upon his earthly people Israel, God has permitted and given the dominion of the earth, the government of the earth, into Gentile hands. Now let me very clearly qualify my statement for all to understand. If you study your Bible properly, you will find that the purposes of God for his people Israel was to make of them a great nation above all other nations, and that through them and from them his glory would shine out, and the government of the earth would be manifested through them to his own honor and his own glory. Now I'm positive that every one of you know from history this has never been fulfilled for Israel. Though we have noted in studying the prophetic scriptures about Israel in the future, this will be fulfilled in the reign of their Messiah. But when God punished his people Israel at the Babylonian captivity, he entrusted, and not only entrusted, he endowed the Gentile powers with the government of all the earth. The Babylonian government was symbolized, as we have seen, by the head of gold in this dream. That it was the Babylonian government and world power, there is no question, for the scripture proves it. And history can only corroborate what scripture has said. That the silver, that is, the arms and the breast of silver, represented the Medo-Persian realm of power, a world empire, is also proved from the book of Daniel chapter 5 and verse 28, when Daniel told Belshazzar that God with taking his kingdom away and giving it to the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. And then following subsequently the Medo-Persian reign, there was the successive Grecian kingdom, as revealed in Daniel chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. And may I repeat, these explanations were given to Daniel before the Babylonian kingdom ended. Now let us repeat the fact that as we see this image of a man, the image of this man is the symbolical representation of man's dominion over all the earth in world rule. The Babylonian, King Nebuchadnezzar. The Medo-Persian, that realm. The Grecian, that realm. But then we have found a deterioration in the quality of the metals in the image. The head of gold was the most glorious of all the world kingdoms known. The Medo-Persian was not as glorious, but not inferior in the extent of its territory. The Grecian was more of a military power, as Alexander the Great covered the earth and conquered it in his day. And then the fourth kingdom was the kingdom that was strong as iron. Now iron is inferior in quality and in value and in glory to the preceding one of gold and silver and brass. But it is stronger than gold. It is stronger than silver. It is stronger than brass. And the fourth kingdom, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, shall be strong as iron. For iron breaks in pieces, subdues, and breaking all these, it will break them in pieces and bruise. This was the Roman Empire that followed the Grecian. And Daniel was told in chapter 7 of the same prophecy of the coming of that fourth empire. As Daniel saw it in his own vision of chapter 7, it was terrible to behold. It was cruel to behold. Now may I say, not in the book of Daniel will you find the Roman Empire named. You will find it described as we have it before us, even in our chapter. But the Old Testament history closed before the Third Empire began. That is, the writing of the Old Testament history was finished before even the Grecian kingdom began. For the last historical book in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah, which was written when the Persian Empire existed. But when you begin reading your New Testament, the New Testament history begins in Luke chapter 2 verse 1 by telling us that Augustus Caesar ruled over the then known world and the Roman Empire was a universal kingdom. Now what should fascinate us and what is more important and pertinent to our special study of the future of the Gentile nation is the closing description of this dream and the interpretation that Daniel gives. Now may I read from verse 41 through verse 43. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. May I read on? Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the feet of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. Now let us note something of the last description of the image. The legs were of iron, and the feet partly iron and partly clay. Now there's no question of doubt that we could certainly say that as far as the Roman Empire, the legs of iron describe its force and power. And then also may I remind my hearers that history declares that the Roman Empire was divided. There was the eastern as well as the western power ultimately known in the reign of the Roman Empire, as suggested by the fact the two mates. Thus, what is more pertinent to our present study is the last condition that describes the Gentile nations by that condition of the feet and the toes. Let me repeat verse 41. Thou sawest the feet and the toes were part of potter's clay and part of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided. Now, beloved, do I need to state that when you look at the Gentile powers of the present world, they have originated particularly in the Western Hemisphere, they have originated and descended from the old Roman Empire, and they have been divided up. And the Roman Empire was broken, as it were, into pieces and separated. And yet, there remains and will remain to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the evidence of iron and the evidence of clay. The iron and the clay indicating the condition of the nations at the end of the age. And what does it suggest? As verse 42 says, partly strong, partly broken. And my beloved, when you look at the realm of the old Roman Empire in the present day, it is partly strong and it is partly broken. May I give the thought? There is a mixture of democratic principles of government with that mixture of what is, could be called autocratic and despotic in form. Now you know verse 43 saying, at the end of it, they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, may I ask my listener, do you see any cleaving together among the nations today, among particularly the nations of the Western world? Or they do not cleave one to another. And may I say, this tells us that even the United Nations, as well as what was known as the League of Nations, can never be successful. They do not work together at the end of the age, but something's going to happen at the end, as we shall see in our next message. I pray you will be listening. Father, bless thy word, illumine the hearts and minds of thy people for their blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.